This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Here now is Lisa Bell and Candace Campos with Florida Foodie. Sponsored by Light Orlando, delivering hope together.
Hello, welcome back to Florida Foodie. I'm Candace Campos, joined with our producer extraordinaire, Thomas Mates.
Hello.
And today's guest has opened a first-of-its-kind restaurant near Winter Park, just a brand new. We're talking like 2 weeks old. So it's really exciting that we're so happy to be joined today with Wilson Santos, the owner of Fry Shop, a shop that was inspired by trips to Amsterdam. Yes. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Okay, so when I asked you, you were inspired. You're like, I'm not from Amsterdam. I was born and raised in the Bronx, right?
Yep, yep.
So give us a little background on how the Fry Shop came to be.
This concept is like decades in the making, to be honest. I went to Amsterdam. The first trip was in 1994. I was doing a study abroad program in England, and on the weekends I would try to take a trip around Europe. And I just took a trip with some friends that I had met in England, went to Amsterdam, and I saw these fries. Like, what is this thing? You know, I see all these people walking up and down the street holding these cones and just eating these fries. And I'm like, what is that? Then you see these little fry shops all around, like snack shops. Almost like a walk-up just window. And then there are lines of people just lining up to get these fries. I said, I got to try this stuff, you know. So we tried it, fell in love. They have all these different sauces. And I started, you know, buying one, walking around, being a tourist. Mm-hmm. Saw another shop, bought another one, tried a different sauce. And that was it. I would eat like two or three of them a day. And I found it fascinating. And I just thought, why don't we have this in the U.S.? Mm-hmm. This is 1994. And then eventually in the U.S., a couple of shops did open up.
Yeah. And I really feel like it's not just the art of how good your French fries are. It's also the art of the sauces, from what it looks like here on the table.
It really is all about the sauces. You know, fries are fries, but when you add the sauce and the toppings, that's what really makes it. That's what. And then the beauty about it is you can, like I said, I was walking around having two or three of them a day because there were plenty of fry shops around the streets. Mm-hmm. We don't have a lot of fry shops in Orlando. I think we're probably the first and only one, but every day a guest comes or a customer comes, they can try different sauces, the different experience every time. So you can try crispy fries with one sauce or skin on fries with a different sauce. So it's a different experience. You're still eating fries, but your experience is different.
How many different varieties do you have?
So we have original sauces. I have 10. And then since we opened, I discovered something that I wasn't planning on, but people want just regular ranch. Or regular blue cheese, or mm-hmm. just buffalo sauce, or mm-hmm. just barbecue sauce.
Us Americans, you know, it doesn't take much.
So I added those as options as well. But the European concept is more of a mayo. And so the reason I call mine a Dutch-style cone fries and not Dutch cone fries is because we're not officially Dutch. We do have some Dutch sauces.
You look very Dutch.
You know? It could be.
The wooden shoes.
For those listening to the podcast, he does not look Dutch.
We have people, like Dutch people coming and wondering, are we really Dutch? You know, are we doing what they're used to? Are we serving what they're used to? And I said, we do have some options, but we're in the U.S. So we have other options that cater towards this market, which would be like the Chipotle, garlic cilantro. You don't get those flavors out in Europe, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So stuff is closer to home.
And I would feel like here, especially in Central Florida, it's a great place to do a fire shelf like this because you get all these different flavors from what Central Florida has become, such a melting pot. You get the cilantro and lime. You get more of a Hispanic twist. Yeah. You get more of the barbecue style, southern flair. So, I mean, do you feel like that's one of the reasons why this concept could work here?
Yeah, I think so. I think it appeals to a much broader market. If it was just a Dutch flavor, Americans aren't used to having peanut butter on peanut sauce on fries, you know.
Is that a thing?
It is a big thing, shockingly, in Amsterdam, in the Netherlands. So it's peanut sauce. They have this fry called Amsterdam war fries. And war fries are peanut sauce with mayonnaise and white onions on top. Now, they call it that, I think, because it's a clash of flavors. It's a war going on in your mouth with all these different flavors. Mm-hmm. Americans aren't used to that. So if I just did European-style sauces, we still do well, I think, you know, but we also have a broader market that in America that needs to, we need to appeal to. And that's the Mexican flavors. We have a Kansas City barbecue mayo, which happened by accident, you know, one day I was grilling burgers in my house and I realized I didn't have any ketchup. I'm like, what am I going to do? You know, you need something. So I took some Kansas City barbecue, some mayonnaise, put it together, put some spices in it, and we created a sauce just like that. Everybody that was at the barbecue loved it. I'm like, I'm going to put that on the menu.
Nice.
You know, so there's that. And then we have the curry is used a lot in Europe. The peanut sauce is used in Europe a lot. Sambal oleg, you know, that one is also used. That's a spicy, a really nice spice sauce. But yeah, we have a market here that we need to cater to as well. Mm-hmm. And I figured I'd try to hit a broader market rather than a more narrow market.
So the Fry Shop is very new, but this isn't your first rodeo. You've worked in the restaurant industry for a long while. Can you kind of walk us back through some of your other...
How far do I have to go?
Not all the way back to 94.
Yeah. I mean, I've been in more in the nightlife industry than in the restaurant industry a lot longer. I started out as an event promoter. So I was doing parties. At 20 years old, I started. Mm-hmm. So it was 1990. And I was doing parties. I, you know, started bartending, managing bars. So I have a long history as a bartender. And then I opened my first bar here in Orlando in 2015. We got the permits, but we opened in 2016. That was the Vinyl Arts Bar that
nice.
I told you about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And ran a beautiful bar.
Yeah, it was a nice bar. You know, it was catered towards an art crowd. We started with a beer and wine license, and then eventually grew from there. I rebranded the place a couple of times, so it took different twists and turns. Mm-hmm. But I was there for 5 years. I felt like I needed to do the rebrand in order to survive. Sometimes concepts get a little bit stale. They run their course. Rather than selling and moving on, I was like, let's take what I have and rebrand it. So I built a small kitchen in there, and I turned it into Mama Juana Latin Bistro. And that was right before the pandemic. We transitioned to that, and we're doing well with it. We were serving tapas. I was grilling churrasco, and it was more of a nice fine dining experience. So it's a group concept. We're doing small plates. People are sharing good cocktails. We had a liquor license in that space. So it grew from a beer and wine art bar to a fine dining tapas lounge. Mm-hmm. Still very nightlife oriented. We still brought the DJs in, and we had dancing on the weekend. So, and then the pandemic came, kind of was killing my dream, like everybody else.
Right.
And we were about to lose that. I rebranded it again, right? Just I was weeks away, literally weeks away from shutting my doors. I couldn't pay rent. We had just a little bit of money. We got an EID loan from the government. And they were, you know, trying to help small businesses. And I rebranded as Vinyl Cafe. So this concept started in Orlando at that cafe.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, I can say this because it's legal. I came up with an idea. I said, I need to make it more casual. At the time, you know, you couldn't have groups of people in bars. Remember, we'd like take out only for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and then it was 75% occupancy and then 50% occupancy. They just kept changing, trying to figure out what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I have a tapas lounge. You couldn't, you know, I couldn't keep up. And I have tapas, you know, nobody's ordering tapas takeout. So, I was dead.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't have groups of people. Tapas is a share place.
A share
you go in groups of people. You know, we had dancing and stuff, and we couldn't do that. So I came up with another rebrand to make it casual in order to survive, and I created what we call Vinyl Cafe. So the decor was vinyl, and I brought in hemp. So hemp was like marijuana, but it's legal.
Mm-hmm.
It's 0.02% THC. They sell it at all the smoke shops.
Mm-hmm.
So I created a way that looks like marijuana, smells like marijuana. It doesn't have the potency. It's much more relaxing,
mm-hmm.
And it's completely legal. So I created a way how to make hemp, pre-rolls,
mm-hmm.
and I jarred it up and put it right next to my liquor, and I just mm-hmm. displayed different varieties of it, and I created similar to an Amsterdam coffee shop,
mm-hmm.
where you have menus and different varieties
yes,
of that.
Yeah.
So it seemed like you had the experience of coming to a coffee shop, but you smoked hemp. It wasn't getting anybody high.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right? Yeah,
but
yeah.
I mean, Amsterdam's not just known for the fries.
No, they also have the, you know, that was another experience in 1994.
Just saying.
Yeah. So, you know, I tried to create the Amsterdam vibe at the Vinyl Cafe, and that was 2020, and that's what I came up with to save the business. And I introduced this for the first time. And I got these, and I got the cones, and I said, I want to make the Amsterdam experience that I first experienced in 1994, fast forward to 2020, what's going to save this business? And so I put about 6 different sauces on the menu. I did the cone fries, and then you have the hemp, and now people are smoking hemp. They're eating the fries, and they get that whole Amsterdam experience.
Nice.
And that's what saved that business. I didn't go under. And then 6 months later, I was able to sell it.
Congratulations. Thank you. I mean, that's hard because, I mean, ever since we started this podcast before the pandemic, and I remember the conversations changed drastically over the year and over the months. So I'm glad to see that. And so where is the Fry Shop now located?
So we're at 489 North Cemeron Boulevard, and it's actually Winter Park.
But
it's very close to Castleberry, so we've got Castleberry a few minutes up the road. Mm-hmm. And then Orlando, it's on the border of East Orlando as well. We're a few blocks up from Full Sail University, just a light up on from University Boulevard to Aloma. Mm-hmm. So we're right on the corner of Cemeron Boulevard and Aloma. Really high traffic intersection for us. So
yeah,
we've been blessed to start there.
And near the school too, which is also a win-win too.
Yeah, we've got over 20,000 students at Full Sail. Mm-hmm. We've got, of course, a lot of faculty and staff that work there. In the plaza behind us, we have Aveda Beauty School, which is a blessing. Right. They've been our bread and butter to get started. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been blessed to have those students come. Aloma High School is right behind us as well. Unfortunately, high school students don't have a lot of money, so you know, they're not a big customer of ours. Yeah. But we're employing them. We've got 2 kids from Aloma High School.
Oh, that's
we've got
awesome.
Another kid from Winter Park High School.
But this is a perfect like after school, like you know, a couple of the kids could, you know, put their money together and share a little fry or something.
And they have.
See?
We'll see 2 or 3 of them, and they, you know, somebody
they get creative.
Yeah, they do. The kids have been. But the beauty school has been a big blessing for us right behind us. Big ups to Aveda.
Yeah, so when you walk into the Fry Shop, what does it look like? What's the ambiance? Is there seating? Is it more of a bar setup?
So, no, it's a fast food concept.
Okay.
We don't have any seating at all. It's a small building, 500 square feet. We do have a drive-through, and then we have a pickup window. So there is no seating. It's grab and go, just like in Amsterdam. There's no seating in these Fry Shops.
Right.
You know, you grab it at a window, and you just keep on walking, and you go around the city sightseeing, and you buy some more. And so it's just a grab-and-go concept, very fast, very efficient. Mm-hmm. We are creating, just put requests for permits with the county last week on Thursday. So we want to create a garden area in the front. We do have a patch of grass that's about 18 feet by 18 feet.
Okay.
It's got some bushes there. I want to put artificial turf, put some decorative bushes around it, and put some picnic tables with some umbrellas. And so we are working on that with the city right now to see if we can get that approved.
It is true, though. I feel like Europe does really embrace the whole the window experience. In Spanish, called the ventadita, like the small little window that you kind of just walk through. You have your little coffee, you have your little fry, you have something, and you keep going, right?
Yeah.
So I think that works hand in hand with the Fry Shop.
Europe is very similar to New York. It's a lot of foot traffic. People are walking.
Mm-hmm.
In Orlando, nobody walks.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's walking around. So we do get the school helps us because they walk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they walk to their car, but they grab some fries before they get to the car. But nobody's walking around. And so it works really well over there. This concept I think we spoke about the grab-and-go beauty of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it'll work really well at music festivals. People are grabbing and they can just keep walking. Shopping centers, malls, for instance. Airports even, airport kiosks. Mm-hmm. And people just walk into their terminal, walk into the gate. Just grab some fries as you walk. So it is a grab-and-go concept, the beauty of the cone.
Yeah.
And the aesthetic of it, too. You know, they're really, really cool looking. Mm-hmm. We get a lot of smiles when we hand that cone over to people.
Yeah.
Like little children. They're laughing.
This is
like,
nice.
Hey, this is so cool.
I mean, who can say no to French fries? Really,
everyone loves fries.
At the end of the day, right?
Everyone loves fries. And when I did the Vinyl Cafe, I realized that everyone's loving the fries.
Mm-hmm.
But we were limited in our market to 21-year-olds, to nightlife people.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very small segment of the population, and I said this has to go to a broader segment. You know,
mm-hmm.
children, grandmas, uncles, aunts. You know, church people on Sunday afternoons. They want to come and have some fries. I can't keep this trapped in a small bar in downtown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so since then I've been trying to get this concept off the ground. So it's been about 4 years in the making now.
All right, can we try these?
Yeah,
are these real? They don't look real.
Yeah, they're real.
It smells real.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
what's this little? These little cones.
So this is our regular size. We sell these for $5.95. We have a much bigger one. It's huge. I don't know how people can get that.
Bigger than this?
Bigger than that. Yeah, it's bigger than that. That one's $7.95. So it's still affordable. You know,
very affordable.
We make them very affordable because we target the students a lot. We have a lot of students in our area. We have UCF 15 minutes down the road.
Okay.
full sail down the road. That one is really good. That's the cilantro, garlic cilantro, our most popular sauce.
Okay.
This is our Boom Boom Ranch, and you've got scallions on that. That's the most popular sauce. We go through jars of this stuff.
I could swim in that sauce.
Yeah, yeah, I spoon it. Really, I just eat it.
Nom, nom, nom.
Yeah, it's good.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, cool.
And the fries are crispy.
Yeah.
They hold their flavor.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Going on. The Boom Boom has a little bit of a kick.
Mm-hmm. It's not bad though.
Yeah, we use mayonnaise. A lot of our sauces are mayo based and kind of tames it down. So the spice on it just gets brought down a little bit with the mayonnaise. So it creates a nice little balance.
Those go well together too, because like that little bit of heat here and the lime kind of syncs with that really nicely. That's really good.
Do some people kind of order a couple and they I'll have yours and you have mine and kind of switch up a little bit.
Yes, that's what we look for. Mm-hmm. You know, we look for people to try, and every day, like, we get the Vita students, they'll come 2-3 days in a row, and every day they'll try a different sauce. So again, the whole experience of you get different flavor bursts in your mouth every time you go. Mm-hmm. And if you change the fries, you also have a different, perspective on it, too.
So you can change the fries, too.
Yeah, so we have the skin-on fries, which are more of like a hand-cut fries, a more natural cut. And then we have the crispy fries. Those are coated with a flour base, so they're crispy. They hold a little longer. Mm-hmm. But these are more of a European-style natural cut. You got the skin. You can still see the skin on them.
And are you cutting these by hand?
Unfortunately, no.
Unfortunately not. That'd be a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. And, there are the fry shops that do that. In Europe, a lot of them do that. Mm-hmm. We don't have the space, the capacity to do it right now. Maybe in the future we might transition to that. Mm-hmm. But right now we're limited. We have 500 square feet, and we're doing what we can with this.
Yeah, you're doing a lot.
And you said you've only got about like 6 employees right now, right?
I've got 6 employees. Mm-hmm. I'm looking to hire a couple more. Mm-hmm.
But this is a naked fry. Can I try one of these sauces?
So which ones we've got?
I don't know.
Okay, so I've got the mayo ketchup. This one is like a smoky mayonnaise ketchup. It's got Worcestershire, soy sauce.
I'll try seeing that Worcestershire.
What else we've got? This one is the curry. So this one is used a lot in Europe. So that's a curry.
What's your
mayo.
Favorite? What's your go-to?
I like the Boom Boom. I like the sambal. I love the spicy flavor. Also the garlic cilantro. You just can't never go wrong with the garlic.
That curry is good too. Mm.
That curry is nice.
What's the smoke flavor in that?
So we put liquid smoke in that.
Liquid smoke,
It gives you that barbecue kind of smoky flavor. Yeah. So that's got soy sauce, Worcestershire, I think, if I pronounce it correctly. Nobody can.
Worcestershire.
Yeah. And then we've got smoked, the liquid smoke in that. Mm. Ketchup, mayonnaise, and a couple of other spices that we add to that.
Really good.
The curry mayo, if you want to try
that. Really good. Cool.
This one is chipotle, so we
get a. And so you've mentioned it a couple of times, like this is someplace you'd like to see a lot of foot traffic and things like that. Yeah. So what are your plans in your head? What would be the ideal expansion for you?
Obviously, like the way I designed it, and it took a long time to get it to where it is, even from the color selection to the logo, trying to brand it, simple brand. I am looking to expand. I think this concept is very scalable. And as I mentioned already, more kiosks. We can do music festivals, so we can go mobile and small food trucks or trailers. Beaches are great. Metropolitan cities like New York, where a lot of people.
It's kind of like a boardwalk sort of food.
You can grab and go.
You also don't feel like you're eating like fried dough, or like this is kind of nice. It's airy. It's easy to share too. So you don't feel like you have to sit there and eat the whole thing.
Yeah, like you said, I see people share. They'll eat a little and then we'll split.
It's kind of like tapa style, right? Kind of, right? It's food to share.
Very much like that. Yeah. So I do envision this growing into a. And it can take different forms. It can be just the Fry Shop Express, where we're only selling cones. Because at the Fry Shop, we also have loaded fries. So we have like a Mexican birria loaded fries. So we have, at the end of the day, we have full meals. They're meat and potatoes. We have a such.
They are literally meat and potatoes.
That is the full meal. So that's those are in price ranges from $11.95 to the most expensive is $15.95. But you get a full meal. Most people don't finish them. Our portions are pretty generous. So people are sharing them or just putting them away and eating later. And then these are more of the snack stuff. So, the fry shop can be just a cone concept or it can be both,
Yeah.
And so that's the idea, keep expanding.
And we were talking upstairs a little bit as we were heating up the fries. You were saying that this you're you're only 2 weeks in, you're still kind of working at about like 60% capacity. And yeah. As you said, you have a couple more people, you know, so you're not even running on all cylinders just yet. Like, how do you foresee the next, you know, month, 6 months going?
Well, I know that in the next month, we'll be at 100%. Mm-hmm. We have to add delivery. So we have to add DoorDash, Uber Eats, sort of the two big ones. We haven't even marketed heavily to the student population right down the street, Full Sail. They have over 20,000 students. This is affordable food for students. I was a college kid. You guys probably were the same. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were broke. Mm-hmm. You know, so we were looking for economical food. And it's filling. So we haven't targeted to them yet. We haven't done the garden area that we want to do in the front. We haven't put in enough lighting out front. So there's a lot more to do.
So a lot of baby steps.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy this way. I'm glad that we're not. We didn't just launch everything at the same time because we're still developing our process. Every day we're learning new things. We change things and how we process the food, trying to keep it fresh, not putting too much out at a time. We put smaller amounts to keep it fresh and rotate them. So there's a lot of little kinks that we're working out, which and we need to get a good team together. We need a solid team before we get to that 100% operation level, and then we'll be able to, you know, we're ready for war.
I mean, this looks like something that you've been wanting to do
too long
for so long that there's almost like a relief in your eyes when you're like, it's opened, it's going. It might be 60%, but God, it's 60%.
Yeah, no, we did it, and like I said, I'm working on the small steps to get us to where we're going to be eventually. So we are, you know, set a 6 months, a year from now, we are in talks with a place called Violet's Garage in Kissimmee. That's they're creating a food hall concept where they'll have an event space, a brewery.
Those are huge right now.
Yeah, yeah.
They're really becoming a thing.
It's like a, you know, I think it's like a food court, mall food court, but for adults, you know?
Yeah. Without having to shop.
Right. You just go there for the experience. So it works really well for us because you don't even have to commit to us. You just buy some fries. You can still have our fries and another meal.
Right.
Whereas when you commit in those food halls, you get one plate and you got all these other, I wanted to try these other things, but I can't. With us, start with us and then move on to the next and get yourself a meal. We'll be happy to sell you, you know, $5.95 cones all day.
Well, Wilson, thank you so much. So if people wanted to look out for you, you already told us your address, but social, Instagram,
Facebook?
Yeah,
we're on social media. So I started the Instagram page last year. So I've been teasing it for a long time before I had a location.
Okay.
Before I knew we were going to even open. I was like, it's coming.
That's a
you know, I was looking for investors for a long time. I had presentations and meetings and nobody wanted to invest. Nobody believed in it. You know, people said I was asking too much. I'm glad I didn't get any investors at the end of the day. It would have been a mistake. So things happen for a reason. You know, I ended up, I couldn't get funding for it and I didn't have the money. I'm a risk taker. I sold my house to buy it, to get to listen to this.
Oh,
I had a beautiful home.
We got a beautiful fry shop now.
And I'm renting a house now, you know, right across the street from the fry shop. And I was like, you know, I'm going to risk it all. I sold my house and at a great rate. Like that post-pandemic rate before they went up. But I took a chance and I threw it all into this because eventually I'll buy another house. I needed to do this now.
Well, we can't wait to see what this becomes and continues to be. So please keep us. Mm-hmm. Hopefully one day we're at another spot that you're opening somewhere in Central Florida.
Maybe Kissimmee would be next. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to stop until we have multiple locations. I'm persistent when it comes to that. I won't rest.
That's awesome. Yeah. Wilson, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate and keep us posted.
Yep, I will. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yep. I'm going to keep eating.
Yeah. Are we going to get through all the other stuff?
Thank you for listening to Florida Foodie. We'd also like to thank our guest, Wilson Santos. You can find his business online. Just search for The Fry Shop on Instagram and TikTok. Be sure to follow Lisa Bell online. Search Lisa Bell News on Facebook and Instagram. You can also find Candace Campos on social media. On Facebook, search Candace Campos News 6. And on Instagram, search Candace Campos WKMG. Also, a big thank you to our entire production team. I'm the show's producer, Thomas Mates. Please take the time to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify or wherever you stream podcasts. And you can find videos of all of our podcasts on clickorlando.com and on YouTube. Just search for Florida Foodie.